I got to Norman, Oklahoma, a bit before noon the next morning. It was a Wednesday, which was a blessing. In the Midwest, if you show up to a college town on a weekend, you risk running into a football game. In my experience, that resulted in universal problems with traffic, available hotel rooms, and drunken football hooligans. Or wait, soccer is the one with hooligans. Drunken American football fans are just, drunks, I guess. River had provided me with a small dossier he'd had prepared, which included a copy of his kids' class schedule. I parked my car in an open spot on the street not too far from campus and ambled on over. I got some looks. I sort of stand out in a crowd. I'm a lot closer to 7 feet tall than six, which might be one reason why River shoulders like to hire me. I look a lot less tiny than other humans to him. Add in the big black leather duster and the scar on my face, and I look like the kind of guy you'd want to avoid in dark alleys. The university campus was as confusing as all of them are, with buildings that had constantly evolved into and out of multiple roles over the years. They were all named after people I doubt any of the students had ever heard of or cared about, and there seemed to be no organizational logic at all at work there. It was a pretty enough campus, I supposed. Lots of red brick and brownstone buildings, lots of architectural doohickeys on many of the buildings, and a kind of quasi-classical Greek style. The ivy that was growing up many of the walls seemed a little too cultivated and obvious for my taste. Then again, I had exactly the same amount of regard for the Ivy League as I did for the Big 12. The grass was an odd color, like maybe someone had sprayed it with a blue-green dye or something, though I had no idea what kind of delusional creep would do something so pointless. And, of course, there were students. A whole lot of kids, all of them with things to do and places to be. I could have wandered around all day, but I thought I'd save myself the headache of attempting to apply logic to a university campus and stopped a few times to ask for directions. Irwin Pounder, River Shoulders' son, had a physics course at noon, so I picked up a notebook and a couple of pens at the university bookstore and ambled on into the large classroom. It was a perfect disguise. The notebook was college-ruled. I sat near the back, where I could see both doors into the room, and waited. Bigfoot Irwin was going to stand out in the crowd almost as badly as I did. The kid was huge. River had shown me a photo that he kept in his medicine bag, carefully laminated to protect it from the elements. Irwin's mom could have been a second-string linebacker for the Bears. Carol Pounder was a formidable woman and over 6 feet tall. But her boy was a head taller than she already and still had the awkward, too lean look of someone who wasn't finished growing. His shoulders had come in, though, and it looked like he might have had to turn sideways to walk through doors. I waited and waited, watching both doors, until the professor arrived and the class started. Irwin never arrived. I was going to leave, but it actually turned out to be kind of interesting. The professor was a lunatic, but a really entertaining one. The guy drank liquid nitrogen right there in front of everybody and blew it out his nose in this huge jet of vapor. I applauded along with everyone else, and before I knew it, the lecture was over. I might even have learned something. Okay, maybe there were some redeeming qualities to a college education. I went to Irwin's next class, which was a freshman biology course, in another huge classroom. No Irwin. He wasn't at his 4 o'clock math class either, and I emerged from it bored and cranky. None of Irwin's other teachers held a candle to Dr. Indestructo. Time for Plan B. River's dossier said that Irwin was playing football for OU. He'd made the team as a walk-on, and River had been as proud as any father would be about the athletic prowess of his son. So I ambled on over to the Sooners' practice field where the team was warming up with a run. Even among the football players, Irwin stood out. He was half a head taller than any of them, at least my own height. He looked gangly and thin beside the fellows around him, even with the shoulder pads on, but I recognized his face. I'd last seen him when he was about 14. Though his rather homely features had changed a bit, they seemed stronger and more defined. There was no mistaking his dark, intelligent eyes. I stuck my hands in the pockets of my old leather duster and waited, watching the field. I'd found the kid, and absent any particular danger, I was in no particular hurry. There was no sense in charging into the middle of Irwin's football practice and his life and disrupting everything. I'm just not that kind of guy. Okay, well, I try not to be. Seems to keep happening, though, doesn't it? I said to myself. You show up on somebody's radar and things go DEFCON 1 a few minutes later. I'm sorry, said a young woman's voice.